Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Empowering Family Caregiver Show on Blog Talk Radio. I am Polly Whitehorn, your host for today's show, sponsored by eCareDiary.com. Today, we will focus on caregiver strategies to engage with seniors who have Alzheimer's. To help shed light on this, I am very pleased to introduce our distinguished guest, Trin Rose Seeley, a professional caregiver, photographer, and musician. She has worked with preschool and elementary school students, music classes, and in private and care community settings with elders for 25 years. Trin has written a book that empowers caregivers of those with Alzheimer's and related dementias called 15 Minutes of Fame, One Photo Does Wonders to Bring You Both Back to Solid Ground. She has also designed and released a new phone app called Alzheimer's Story Starters. Well, Trin, I just want to say thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Polly. I'm glad to be here.
Great, great. I want to start off by asking you what's your personal and professional path that led you to become a caregiver for those with Alzheimer's and related dementias?
Well, I think it was a wonderful path that went left and right and arrived at the right spot, as life sometimes goes. I start with my early years. I had a brother with special needs. He had petite mal seizures all the time and grand mal seizures like lightning every other day. Very much of a struggle for him just to get through the day. And he couldn't always communicate, but I know he was in there beyond the layers of these seizures and the frustration and the zapping that happened for him. And that was an important part of becoming sensitive to knowing that a person is in there, whether you can see it or not, right away. He lived to be 9 years old. I was 10 at the time that he passed, and I feel like I've spent the rest of my working career, whether I'm working with young children or adults with dementia or adults with special needs of some kind, that is the undergirding of what runs me, is to say, I'm going to find that person in there through those layers. That was an early important forming for me.
It's a wonderful dedication.
Yeah. When I was about 20, 21 years old, I had a bout of depression that was surprising to me. I felt like from the inside, I feel normal, and on the outside, I feel down and depressed, and struggled for several months after a traumatic experience that had happened in my life. And what I learned from that time is that my family and friends who simply told me stories about their lives, about their summer vacation, just chatting with me, not trying to fix or change me, I was able to see through my eyes, oh, that looks normal. I'm going to get back to that, even though on the outside I was down and depressed. And so that was another formative moment for me, looking back, to say, I know I'm going to get back to feeling my optimistic, happy self, which I did. And it didn't feel like it or look like it on the outside, which I liken to a caregiver sometimes feeling like, you know, where did my mother go or where did my husband go? They're not here. They're not present anymore with the struggles of dementia. Mm-hmm. And they can know that inside there's a spark that might be waiting to be brought back to the surface. And I have ideas about ways to do that from my experience, it works.
Wonderful.
I also worked with, yeah, sorry to interrupt.
Oh, no, go on. You're telling us all about what you work.
Well, I worked with children with special needs in music classes and preschool age. I got an elementary education degree back in the 90s. And there were layers for those children as well, you know, that I would go in and do music classes in communities that had children under the age of five, which is the age before they're in the public school system, and the teachers would sometimes say, well, that child probably won't participate because of X, Y, and Z. And I would go up to those children particularly and say, you know, I'm starting music class in about 2 minutes, and if you'd like to come over, there's a bell waiting for you. And often those children that teachers predicted wouldn't participate jumped right up and came over and participated, because the way that I feel about it is I was giving them a chance to respond, a chance to participate, rather than saying they probably won't. No, I'm going to see if they will. Let's see. Let's offer them the possibility of joining in, playing music in whatever way that they can. And had a lot of joy with that. I had a lot of joy seeing those children participate. And that was another important time of seeing through the layers and not having an expectation that closes the door too soon. Keep the door open and invite and provide a chance to respond. And they often do.
Great. When you're reaching out to a loved one with Alzheimer's, it can be very challenging. What do you think are the main reasons for outreach to be so frustrating for the caregiver?
If a caregiver is a family member, it's very upsetting and stressful to see one's spouse or one's parent or one's brother or sister struggling in a way you wouldn't have predicted. Or you don't expect. You know, sometimes it can come on over years of small changes, forgetting things and being confused and getting the story different than the other person. And it can surprise a caregiver. It can also just simply be not at all what they expected they were going to be doing, caring for a family member or a friend when they were expecting to be retired together and going off and seeing the world and going on trips and visiting grandchildren, and it gets to be, it's a different story than they expected. So that's stressful. And in the work that I've done for many years as a private and professional caregiver, I just saw that family members needed a break if they get to the place where they need to place a family member in someone else's care. They already feel sad or angry or guilty that they couldn't do it themselves. Mm-hmm. And so there's all these layers of reasons that can overload a caregiver. And there are I just learned how to invite, when I worked in a professional setting, to invite those caregivers back into the family, back into the experience of caring for their family member or their friend, with music and stories and photographs, you know, bringing the memories of the person I'm caring for back to the surface. I think caregivers also don't know that they can bring a person's experiences back to them if what they're dealing with is the frustration of the medical system and the confusion of, you know, do the doctors know what's going on? Is this dementia caused by a stroke? Is it dementia caused by other medical issues? You know, these things take up a lot of energetic time to determine what's happening. And as a professional caregiver, I was just caring for the person that day, you know, in the moment, making sure that they were feeling connected and happy and enjoying their time every day. I didn't have the experience of this person used to be this way and now they're another way. I just took them as they were, and but I would always learn from the family caregivers. Tell me 3 great stories about this person's life that I can tell them every day, so they know that I know who they are and I appreciate who they are. And that's something that not only by asking the caregiver to tell me who was caring for their family member, I could be empowered, then they could also be re-empowered and say, hey, every time I come in to visit my spouse or my mother or my best friend, I can tell that story too. And they will respond and say, oh, I'm so glad you know who I am. Everybody wants to be known, you know. We all want to be known and appreciated. And when somebody knows us and recognizes us, then we just feel good in that person's presence.
Mm-hmm. How can one begin building trust with someone who's suffering from Alzheimer's?
There were so many ways as a full-time caregiver that I got to build trust with people. There's a story from my book. My book is called 15 Minutes of Fame. And when I first was working with elders, and I moved to a new state and started working with elders instead of young children, I became a companion for a woman who taught me that she was a person who knew what was going on. She maintained great dignity and grace in her daily affairs and didn't respond to statements like, you already had lunch, or you haven't had a shower since you moved here. You know, nobody responds to statements like that very well, any of us. And so I was invited as a personal caregiver to just that person in the community to try and help help her take a shower and do her hair. And I had another caregiver's assistance at that time, and we accidentally washed her hair. Whoops, oh, I'm so sorry we got your hair wet, and we'll fix it right up. And she was furious the first time. But we went to directly to the salon at our home, and she sat down and had her hair dried and curled the way she liked it. And what I did at the time with her is talked with her about her great golf games. Her daughter had told me that she was a wonderful golfer. So I would sit with her while she was diffusing from her frustration that her hair was a mess and, oh, I'll never look beautiful again. Oh, no, here we go. You're in the right place with the right people to make you look beautiful, and would bring her energy back to these great golf stories and stories about her granddaughter that I had met. And then when she looked beautiful and felt happy again, she, the next times that we would invite her to take a shower and wash her hair, she would sort of roll her eyes and say, well, no, she released her distress more quickly and actually looked forward to having her hair done. But I had the privilege of being part of that process of grounding her again after her initial frustration, and actually made it easier to do those tasks afterwards because she saw me as a person who knew her, who knew how fantastic a golfer she was and how much she loved her granddaughter. So that builds that trust and that groundedness by knowing the best stories about a person's life to tell them.
Now, in your book, The 15 Minutes of Fame, you focus on the power of a photograph in the process of engaging the Alzheimer's patient. Could you tell us more about that?
Mm-hmm. And there's a story from my book that I was doing a music show. I'm also a professional musician and play in retirement communities often. And this was a gentleman I didn't know, but after my 45-minute music show, he came up to me holding out a photograph he'd pulled from his pocket, and he said, thanks for your music. I wanted to show you this picture of my dad. He played the trombone in the Army. I am so proud of him. When I see this picture, it makes me smile. And so I learned from him, whoever gave him that picture gave it to him, and the effect was that he could always re-anchor himself. He could reach in his pocket, pull out that picture, and say, oh, yeah, my dad in the Army. I'm so proud of him. He did it himself, and so I learned from him how wonderful one photo, how much one photo can do to re-anchor. So we can do it as caregivers on purpose. We can go on purpose and say, here's the, you know, one, at least one photograph to re-anchor that person, and it has a little caption at the bottom that says, this is my dad from the Army. So any person that comes and joins with that man can say, isn't this a great picture of your dad? And he then looks at that person as someone he trusts and someone who knows the most important story of his life. It's a wonderful way to do it.
Okay, that's great. Now, I'm fascinated by this app that you have. Can you tell us about the app that you have, which is called Alzheimer's Story Starters?
Yes. It's an app that I developed that I wished I'd had as a caregiver years ago. I've worked with students at Arizona State University, where I live here in Phoenix, had the opportunity to design and co-create this app where you have several options of things to talk about. One thing that happens for caregivers when they are running about with their family member or their friend, they have to wait in line for a long time at the grocery store or at the doctor's office, and or even just being at home and trying to think of something to talk about. This app called Alzheimer's Story Starters, it's free right now, so anyone listening, please go download it and give it a try. It's ready for the Android phone as well as the iPhone. It has story that you can read on a topic like celebrations, or another topic I have on there is airplane rides. You know, people have lots of stories about, you know, getting to the airport just in time to make that flight to their England trip, or just missing it and what happened after that. Mm-hmm. There's a funny story that I've written, as well as another button feature that has several ideas about ways to tell a story. Like when my dad first saw the app, he said, oh, you know, the second flight I ever took in my life, I flew myself. I was just in the Navy, and I flew from Philadelphia to Texas to the Navy base, and then they offered me the chance to try flying. So the second flight I ever took, I flew myself. And I've known my dad my whole life, and I never heard that story from him. So this button gives you little story starters like, you know, first time I ever flew, or the most exciting trip I ever took by plane. And it has several options of little story starters. It also has a supply of photographs that remind you of these topics and might spark a story by the caregiver looking at it and saying, hey, look at this great, gorgeous picture of this airport with this fountain in the middle. Do you remember when we were in, you know, Brazil and we saw that gorgeous airplane, that great, gorgeous airport? It was a great time. You know, it helps the caregiver have something to talk about, and the person listening may very well respond. There's also links to YouTube with music, songs, specific songs that spark memories as well. Music is a wonderful thing that sparks memories and feelings, deep feelings that bring us back to ourselves. So that's the app. It's got a lot of fun
sounds
features.
Sounds great. I can't wait to check it out.
Yeah.
Now, what strategies do you suggest to educate and engage family members, friends, or others who are not yet caregivers?
And that's an important wording, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
We can see in our country's future that the demographics are that most of us will become caregivers in some way or another for
right.
our aging family or friends. And my continual message is to tell the best stories about a person's life. And you can do that in so many ways. It's worth doing. Sometimes what a caregiver will say is, well, she doesn't remember in 5 minutes from now that I just told her that story. Why should I tell her a story? Why should I sing a song? Why should I do that? Because in our culture, we're so we value people remembering and saying, we already did that, so now we're moving on. But with a person with dementia, whatever the cause, it's wonderful to have a few good stories and song lyrics and photographs that inform the person what to say you know, often we want to have the person with dementia start the conversation, but it's really important that the caregiver knows if we start the conversation, one, we're enjoying telling a great story about this person's life. We are enjoying it. That person is enjoying being known and appreciated. And anyone who joins that circle of care, if it's a professional or a neighbor or a hospice chaplain is coming to visit or the grandchildren are coming to visit, only once every 6 months they are able to come visit from far away, we all have something to talk about. And that's a wonderful thing, to empower people to have something great to talk about, because it feeds everybody in that circle.
Wonderful, wonderful. What tips would you suggest to those caregivers who might be trying all these strategies but are still waiting for a positive result or reaction from their loved ones?
One thing that I would say right away is there comes a time when a person is caring for their family member or their friend alone, and it's time for more support. In my book, I talk about the right promise, and I'd like to just read that brief page. The wrong promise to make to your loved one is, I will be the only one who cares for you, and I'll keep you at home. This is a promise that many people make. The right promise to make is, we will walk this path together, and I'll make sure you have what you need. This is an expanding promise you can keep.
That's wonderful. I love the way you worded that. Oh, it's just so wonderful.
People need help when they need help. And one way that this approach in this book, 15 Minutes of Fame, gives a caregiver support, it's like having another caregiver in the home to say, I've got this story on the coffee table, I've got this picture on the bedside table or in her purse or right in the dining room table, I've got this set of song lyrics that she loves right here available all the time that we can interact with. When the caregiver is frustrated or the person with dementia is frustrated, there's something to do, something interesting, fun, enjoyable, delightful. You know, you want to put those great stories of life right, make them available for everyone who walks in the room. Even the person with dementia themselves, I've experienced many a time, give them an index card that says, you were a famous clothing designer and made women beautiful. Thank you. And that can take that person a long way all by themselves to just enjoy, that is who I am. That is my life. I am so glad to remember that right now. And their memories can come back. But it's not even about, are they responding? They might respond with their own memories, but the caregiver can drive the experience to be more positive, more enjoyable, by having these resources around.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we've got a few minutes left on the show. I want to wrap up with one last question. And I know it's going to take a while to answer this, but see if you can keep it short. How do you see the future of care evolving for elders in our country?
Well, I see the trend of younger people, there are fewer younger people than older people, meaning I've spent many years as a professional caregiver in care communities, and the demographics is going to be a huge number of elders who need care, whether it's dementia or other just aging issues. The new couple that I see in the country is a caregiver and the person they're caring for. Mm-hmm. And so that means they'll be at home. They'll be needing interesting activities in public spaces. I have a story to tell about when I lived in Philadelphia. There was a big band leader friend of mine who decided to rehearse his big band with all the trombones and all the saxophones and all the fun outside at the library on a Tuesday night. There's a wonderful natural circle there. And so he enlivened that public space just by saying, hey, let's rehearse outside so that other people can come and enjoy it. You know, I would spontaneously walk by one night, and there they were. And I jumped up on the mic and sang Chattanooga Choo Choo, you know, with the band. And I was just taking a walk, and all of a sudden there was this great thing happening in the public spaces. And that's sort of the vision that I see is needed, that artists can do art demonstrations outside and in the outdoor malls or the outdoor arenas, the public spaces, you know, get the little church choir that's getting ready for their Christmas concert, you know, get them to the outdoor space to rehearse. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. even if they're not perfect, they are making joyful noise that people can enjoy as they walk by. I see that as a need, enlivening those public spaces.
That's great. That's great. Well, I'd like to thank you, Trin. It's been such a pleasure to have you as our guest today. Our audience can learn more about Trin Rose Seeley through her website, which is www.caregiverheart.com. I'd like to thank our audience again for tuning in. Join us next time on Tuesday, July the 30th at 2 p.m. Eastern Time for our online radio show, Caregiver and Physician Conversations, hosted by eCare Diaries caregiving expert Marjorie Past. She will be interviewing Dr. Rick Bamaji and Dr. John Guarneri about key listening and communication skills that can keep everyone on the same page. To learn more about eCare Diary and our upcoming shows, please visit www.ecarediary.com. Registration is free and gives you immediate access to your personal care diary tool. You can find us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. My Twitter address is ecare_diary. Thank you again. Bye now.